Friends, count it a blessed, or count yourself a blessed, to partake this service. As I've been saying, we live in the very last days of the world history, but it seems the people of God are sleeping. It seems we are not aware of what is happening. It seems we have taken things for granted as a church. So these days ahead, we are going to look at the church and the gospel, or we are looking at the church and the gospel. Last night, we looked at the church, or the garden church, the church at Eden, how the church rebelled against God. But God made a provision. We were all condemned to die, but there was the gospel. The gospel means the good news. And the good news was the proclamation of God, the enmity between the woman and her seed, and between the serpent and her seed. Now, the woman gave birth to two sons, Cain and Abel. The enmity continued or ensued between them. And for that matter, Cain killed Abel. God's purpose shall always stand. So he brought forth Seth to take place of Abel. Because through the linear genealogy of Seth, or through the line of Seth, the promised seed, the original seed, who was going to crush the head of the serpent, will come to this world and defeat our enemy. I'm going to share my screen. So bear with me. This morning, we are going to consider the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness. And you bear me out that through Noah and through the descendants of Noah, we had a man called Abram. God called Abraham to go out of his comfort zone for a purpose. Always bear in mind that God has an agenda for the world. And that salvation agenda, he purposed to save man from the wretchedness of sin. But he does this through his church. God called Abraham and his wife to move from their comfort zone to a place that he will show them. God did this that the whole entire world, or the whole world, will be blessed to experience the salvation that he has in store for them. The book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says that, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out." Don't forget, the word there, "get thee out," means that Abraham and his wife was a church. But yesterday or last night, we understood that a church is called out. "Get thee out" means you were a church, you and your wife, wherever two or more people have gathered in my name. Jesus says, "I am in their midst." They form a church. "From their kindred and from their father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The church of God is there to bless people. Last night I said that a church without a message of salvation, it doesn't matter how we entertain people, it doesn't matter how we bless people, It's not a church of God. Or where the church of God has an agenda, saving the souls who are mingling in sin. And God said that I'll bless you, Abraham. And whoever blesses you, I'll bless such individual. Whoever curses you, I'll curse that individual. So God gave a promise of a seed. Remember, God said a seed to Adam and Eve, a seed. This seed is going to run out the church, a nation, a land, blessing. Abraham was a king. Don't forget that I said Adam was a king and also a priest yesterday. But God said, I'm going to add other kingdoms or other nations to you. And God promised Abraham a time. Now, through the genealogy of Abraham, we had Isaac, we had Jacob, and through Jacob, the promise to Abraham, the promise to Adam came into fruition, because we had the 12 tribes of Israel. When we talk about Israel, let me explain this. Israel is Jacob. When we talk about Israel, it's Jacob. Israel is the name given to Jacob by God. Jacob means a cheater, somebody who is a deceiver. But God changed the name of Jacob and called him Israel, which means that the father of many nations, or a fruitful person. And God said that his descendant will go to the land of Egypt to be slaves for 430 years, which happened. So the sons of Jacob went to Israel safe, and later they became slaves to the Egyptians. When God called Moses to be a deliverer for the people of Israel, the slaves, he said, he addressed them, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Scholars and theologians has looked at the book of Exodus and described it as knowing God. Knowing God. When God called Israel, God wanted Israel to know who is God. Because there are so many gods in this world. There are so many deities in this world. But when God called them, he wanted them to know who he is. So the entire book of Exodus is knowing God. The question is, as a church, do we know God? When he took them from the land of Egypt, they journeyed about 47 days to the Mount of Sinai. It is 47 days to the Mount of Sinai. In the Mount of Sinai, something happened. God did something wonderful for the people of Israel. Remember, they were people of Israel. They were not yet a church or a nation. But God is good, has called them out, making them a church. And he's going to give them his words, his gospel, that they need to preach to the world. This is the root of their journey. When they go to Mount Sinai here, it's the same as Mount Horeb. When you read the Bible and you come to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, something comes to your mind. It rings the bell about what Jesus or God did for the people of Israel. In the Mount Sinai, God decided to institute or organize a church, to organize them into a nation. And therefore, he gave them a commandment. You can take your Bible and read after me, or look on the screen. As it is. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 8. God said, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasurer unto me above all people. What God is saying is that every human being belongs to me. Everyone is mine. But for your sake, or because of you, because of the world, I'm going to adopt you to be a special people, a peculiar people, people who are my own treasure. I'm going to cherish you. I'm going to consecrate you, sanctify you, and put you aside for a specific job. For all the earth is mine. The Lord said, the entire world is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Remember, there are two things here. A kingdom of priests means that you are going to be a kingdom led by himself, God. And not only that, the entire nation is going to be a priest or a priesthood. And the question is, what is the work of a priest? The work of a priest is to propagate the good news of God. And what is the good news? The good news is that man has fallen to sin and is condemned to die. But the good news is there's a seed coming. And through that seed, God is going to redeem his people who believe in that seed. So the purpose of God is instituting the people of Israel into a church or in the nation is that they are going to propagate the gospel of God. They are going to be the oracles, to proclaim the oracles of the Most High God. And Moses came down and called for the elders of the people and laid before their eyes or their face all these words which the Lord has commanded him. And what did the people say? And the people says that, answered and said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. That was the response. Church, friends, God does not force anybody to worship him. God shall never force me or force you to worship him. Any force in worship is not from God. If a pastor forces you to worship God, it's not from God. If an elder forces you to worship God, it's not from God. We worship God from our sincere heart. God gave the people of Israel a choice. He says that the entire world belongs to me, but because I've taken you to be a holy people, a kingdom of priests, a lame and condition, terms and condition before you, it's up to you to accept or reject. God does not force anyone. So God gave the people of Israel an option to choose or reject his offer. But their answer indicates that these people accepted the offer of God to be a priest and a kingdom of nation, to preach the gospel, to tell the world, the rest of the world, that there is a God who cares about humanity. There is a God who created the heavens and the earth. And therefore, come and let's worship him. Come and let's be together. Come and let's glorify him. Come and let's honor him. But the question is, were they able to fulfill the promise that they made to God? So at the Mount Sinai, Israel was incorporated and organized into a church of God and a nation of God. In a way, Israel was a remnant of the world. We have been hearing the word remnant, remnant, remnant. What does it mean? Seventh-day Adventists, we call ourselves the remnant church. It's true. But what does a remnant mean? A remnant means the remaining, Remnant means the leftover. That's the meaning of remnant. Israel became the remnant of God because the entire world has forsaken God. The entire world has rebelled against God. But Israel has accepted the call to be the people of God and also propagate the good news to the entire world. So Israel was the remnant of God. But you know what? As a remnant, we always have remnant within the remnant. So if Seventh-day Adventist is a remnant today, it's good. But I can bet you, we are going to get a remnant of remnants. Because when Israel was the remnant of God, when they become big and a bigger nation, they rebel against God. And yet, God always have remnant out of them. So no wonder we are the remnant. But if we don't take care, we are going to get remnants within the remnants. And the question to me, myself, and to you is, are you going to be the remnant within the remnants? Or you are just going to be a member of the church? Israel became the collective seed, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. They were promised with the land of Canaan. You know, the church of God had been promised with the land of the New Jerusalem. They had knowledge of God. They loved and loyalty and blessing. All these things God gave to Israel. The church of God at the last day has similar blessings. The church of God in these last days have similar blessings. In the Mount of Sinai, this is the covenant that the Lord had with them. The covenant means agreement. Remember, the covenant means agreement. But God says that Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two people walk together? Would that agree? Can you and your wife tie the knot? Would that be agreed? Can you and God be in close relationship without any agreement? Can Bethel Central Church, the pastor, the elders, and individuals in the church know God and walk with God without being agreed to his terms and conditions? It's not possible. It's not possible. That's why God made Israel to agree the terms and conditions. Never take the worship of God, the church, for granted. There is a terms and condition that we have agreed to. We have agreed to God's terms and conditions that, Father, we are going to worship you with our minds, with our strength, with our power. Whatever we can, we will worship you. And God says that because you've accepted my terms and condition, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to prosper you. Even when the world falls apart, I'll keep you safe under my banner. When people reject you, I'll still be your God. And the most of it all, that I'll give you the New Jerusalem. We always talk about the Ten Commandments that God gave to the people of Israel in the Mount Sinai. But you know, the Ten Commandments is the transcript of God's character. The Ten Commandments is the character of God. So God gave this character to Israel that if you are going to live with me, if Elder, Pastor, if you are going to live with me, if Moses, if you are going to live with me, then know who am I, that you can appreciate who am I and be like me. In the Garden of Eden, they did not need the Ten Commandments. Why? Because God was always with them. There was no sin. So they saw God face to face. But now sin has come. And they have been driven from the Garden of Eden. So when God called Israel, says that, this my character, this who am I? If you are going to be with me, learn from me and be like me, else you can't walk with me, else you can't be the people I want you to be. The church is God's appointed agency for salvation. Friends, I would like to repeat here. There are so many gospels. There are social gospels and social ministry. For instance, I can be a philanthropy. I can give money to people. I can take care of people. I can provide for people. If I do not present the gospel of salvation to them, I've done nothing. There are people who have riches and they are giving to people. It's good for them to do that. But if those things are not backed by a message of salvation, a message that rebukes sin, friends, it's not the gospel of Christ. The devil can offer people riches. The devil can offer me and you whatever we need in this life. But if that thing is not backed by salvation, I'm afraid. The entire Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, we can proclaim the social gospel. We can feed people. We can bring people to the fold. We can speak to people and take care of people. We can preach social justice. We can preach about racism. It's not good, it's a sin. But if all these things is not backed by the message of salvation, I tell you, it's not a gospel. I've been hearing voices these days in our circles. I've been hearing a lot of them. But I would like to encourage you people. You can take it, please. Whatever you are doing, make it your purpose to save a soul. Whatever God has endowed you with, every talent that you have, make it a purpose to redeem someone else. If not, I'm afraid to say, you may do it, but it may not be the gospel. You know what? When God had a covenant with the people, he wanted to be among them. He wanted to be, to tabernacle with them, to live with them, to be among them. So in verse 20, chapter 25, verse 89, God said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all that instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. God is a God of principle. He asked the people to build him a sanctuary that he may dwell among them. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, in the garden church, God was dwelling with them in the garden. The garden was a blueprint of a sanctuary. So God was dwelling with them in the garden. But now man is out of the garden, and God is taking the people for himself, and he wants to dwell with them. So he asked them to make a sanctuary for him where he can come and have a close intimacy with them. God came and dwelt with them, but the question is, were they able to dwell with God? Were they able to abide by his word? Were they able to fulfill their promise they made to Jesus or to God? No, they were not able. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, that's a pitiful song or hymn composed by God. And it was sung through the prophet Isaiah. This is what God is saying. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of beloved touching his vineyard. God look at his church as a vineyard, and he's going to render a song, a hymn about this vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. God now is using a farmer as a symbol of how he has worked on his farm, his church. He fenced it. He protected it. He gathered the stones out of it. Everything that was a stumbling block in the church, God removed it. And he planted it with the choicest vine. So here God is saying that the people of Israel was a choicest vine that he planted in his garden for a purpose. And he built a tower in the midst of it. That tower was the sanctuary, the temple. That's a tower that God built in Jerusalem. And also made a vine spread therein. And he looked that it should bring forth a grape. The purpose why I've been called, the purpose why you are here, is that God has planted you in this church. God has planted you in Belfort Central. You are not in Belfort Central with your own accord. You may think you have been in the church and it's your own accord, but I would like to tell you, it's not by your own accord. God has planted you there for a reason. And what is the reason? For you to bring forth grapes, you bear fruit. That's your purpose. To bearing fruit is that telling people about the good news and also using your lifestyle to let people know that, yes, we are awesomeness, but God has sanctified me and you. When you continue, it says that God expected, it brought forth wild grapes. God was expecting good grapes, but they brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah, judge, I pray you, judge between me and my vineyard. This is the song of God. He's asking us to judge between him and the vineyard. What could I have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Whatever I can do, I have done. Whatever the church needs, I have provided. If the church needs knowledge, I have given them knowledge. If they need understanding of prophecies, I've given them the understanding. If they need money, I've given them money. I've given them resources. I'm expecting that this church will bring forth grapes, but it has bring forth thorns. That's a certain, this is a disappointment of God. Is God disappointed? I've missed the words. This is a disappointment of God. God was disappointed with his people. And if we don't take care, he's going to be disappointed with us as the Last Day Church. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedges thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. God says that I'm going to remove my protection from the church. I'm going to remove my will from the church. I'm going to neglect my church. And that church will be trodden down underfoot. It will be taken over. By who? By Satan? If God leaves the church, who takes over? Who takes over? Somebody else. He leaves the church in waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall become berries and thorns. I also command the clouds not to rain upon it. This is what God is saying. People that he adopted for his own purpose, people that he adopted to be his priest, a holy nation. He said, no, I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to neglect them because they have rebelled against me. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. How is our church? What is the state of our church today? When Christ came, he repeated the song of Isaiah chapter 5. He repeated this in Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 12 to 14. And not that repeating it is important, but he cursed the church in the form of fig tree. You see, when God gives us opportunity and we misuse the opportunity, we have ourselves to be blamed. We have ourselves to blame because God will never give us a gift without asking for the results of that gift. Whomever God has called into the church, God has given, and God expecting you and me to use those gifts for the betterment of his church, for the proclamation of his word. But if we do not do that, then we have ourselves to blame. The story in Mark, it says that Jesus Christ has gone to Bethany. He spent the night at Bethany. In the morning, he left Bethany with the disciples and they were coming. Afar off, he saw a fig tree with the leaves on it. And the fig tree with the leaves is indication that there's a fruit on the tree. He was hungry, and he decided just to go and have some of the fruit to eat. Friends, he went there and checked the fig tree and checked. There wasn't any fruit. So he cursed it and said, no man shall eat your fruit. He cursed the tree. That tree is a symbol of the Israel nation, of the Jewish nation. That tree is a symbol of God's people. Christ came to see if they had bear some fruit. He found judgment. He did not find judgment in it. He looked for judgment, but he found unrighteousness. He looked for forgiveness and love, but he found none. That was the state of the church. So the church has used the land in vain. All the resources God had given to the church did not make good use of it. And therefore, the church does not deserve to exist. So God or Jesus tried to get a remnant out of that church. Every year, every generation, God gets a remnant. So being part of the remnant is not enough. Every generation, every church of God, he always get a remnant of out of it, because the majority of the church decide to go the opposite to God's instructions. In Matthew 23, Christ cried for the church, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets and stone them which were sent unto you. How often I love to gather your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you will not. Christ had wanted to gather his people under himself for protection, but did not allow him. Is Christ trying to gather the church in the last days under his wings? Are you allowing him? Am I allowing him? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Never let us pride ourselves to be the remnant, because always God get remnant out of remnants. Remember, Israel in the Mount Sinai was a remnant of the world who obey God's rules and regulations, who love God and obey him. But when the entire people, the entire nation rebel against God, friends, out of it, Jesus Christ was about to get the remnant out of it. In the afternoon lectures, you get to know that God got a remnant indeed. When you read the book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 coming, there's a prophecy that was given to the people of Israel. The 70 weeks were determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, to make a reconciliation for iniquity and what I'm saying is that if God gave the nation of Israel a time period that they should amend their ways, I would like to tell you, our church has also been given a time period. If there is anything going on in our lives, look at the condition we live in. God is warning us. If there is anything that you have been harboring, if you bear grudges in your heart, friends, throw it off. Else you get out from the church. God wants to save me. He wants to save you. If you are hearing my voice today, it is an opportunity to amend your ways, to right the wrongs. If there is anything as a church we have been doing, if we speak anyhow to each other, if we create confusion in the church, friends, we have to amend our ways, for we have resources. We have protection from God. And one day, the time will draw nearer and the time will come to an end. I won't read the whole chapter or the whole verse that is on it, but it says that the Messiah, the Prince, they were to prepare for the first coming of Christ. They were to prepare for the first coming of Christ. And you and me are to prepare for the second coming of Christ. But we are in the same level with the people of Israel. We are sleeping. We are dozing off. Remember, Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, the 10 virgins, they were sleeping. They were all sleeping. They were prepared. They were all prepared to go and meet the bridegroom. Some of them were wise, and some of them were foolish. Christ is warning me. He's warning you. In AD 32, something happened that sealed the fate of the people of Israel. If someone tells you Christ has a people on this earth today called Israel in the Middle East, it's never so. It's never true. God gave them an ample time to bring in righteousness, to consecrate themselves for the first coming of the Messiah, but they rejected it. In Acts chapter 7, the stoning of Stephen was the time they were cut off to be the holy nation, a kingdom of priests. who were to proclaim the good news of salvation to this world. And now, God has people upon this world, upon this earth, who are doing the work of God by proclaiming the three angels' message. You may not be able to proclaim it, but you can use your finances, you can use your money, you can use your resources, you can use every talent that God has given unto you. If you have time, just read the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 5 to 8, and you get to know what happened to Stephen. But what happened to Stephen in that day has a repercussion for me and you living in these last days. Whenever you stand for the truth, you may be crucified, you may be stoned to death. Jesus Christ is the only way, only savior of this world. And the world does not want to hear this, that only Jesus Christ, through him, the salvation. The world does not want to hear this because they see it to be arrogance. They see it to be absurd. When we say that only Christ, through him we have salvation, they say, no, you are being arrogant. You are being arrogant. But there are so many ways that you can secure salvation. If we have been called to from darkness to his marvelous light, let's appreciate what we have and make every effort that we will be part of the remnant within the remnant. At the end of this world, God is going to get people who know the truth, who have stood for him, even when the heaven falls and the earth departs. These individuals will still stand for God. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Are you a part of God's church? Do you come to church because you want to entertain yourself? Or you come to church because you know whom you have believed? As we approaching the end of the age, prominent people are going to go out from our church. And that's not surprising. People are going to come into our church. That's not surprising because it's prophesied in the Bible. But it's my humble prayer that whoever you are, wherever you are on the planet, if you receive the truth or if you have received the truth, hold it fast. For we are saying this year is tough, but next year is going to be tougher than this year. If we think that this year is not a good year, then prepare yourself for the years ahead. For there's nothing good the years are going to give unto us. There's nothing good that the church is going to experience. But praise be to God that he is in the boat. And if God is in the boat, if Christ is in the boat, there's nothing to fear. All that we have to do is that we will surrender our lives to the Most High God. All that we have to do is that we will study his word and implement what he has given unto us. Stephen stood for his faith, and he was crucified. He was stoned to death, and it is a symbol, or it's a lesson for you and me that whenever you stand for the truth, you may exchange the truth with your life. Because the world does not want to hear the truth that we have in the scriptures. Belfort Central, what are we doing as a church in our neighbors, our neighborhood? What are we doing for them? If we are the light, if we have been called and we have been planted in that vicinity, God expects me, God expects you to engage with the people, to proclaim the good news, the message that rebukes sin. Let's call sin by its right name. Let's rebuke sin If something is going on that is sinful, let's speak about it. Don't keep mute. Because the moment you keep mute, you side with the perpetrators. If racism is a sin, let's say it's a sin. If lesbianism is a sin, if gayism is a sin, let's call it a sin. Else, friends, we may be disappointing God. We may be disappointing God. But I know the Lord wants to save us. He's doing everything to save me and you. So he's asking us to revive ourselves, to know where we are in the stream of time, and know that he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Whatever we have in our hand, he wants us to leave it under the cross of Jesus, and he will multiply it for the betterment of the gospel. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he strengthen you if you desire, if it's your desire to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. May he strengthen you wherever you are in your life, in your spirituality. May he encourage you and revive you for the betterment of his word, for the salvation that he has for you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.